Glad to have Bruce Minton with us this morning, and Lord bless you as you bring your message this morning, and may our hearts be open.
We're going to sing a song for you to start. You don't have to turn my mic on yet. Thanks. We want to sing a song called Nearer, My God, to Thee, and pray that it will be a blessing to each one of you. Good to be with you this morning and to be able to share in the worship of Jesus Christ, and our condolences and prayers go with you as a congregation. Never easy to lose a loved one, never easy to lose a pastor. You haven't really lost him, you know where he is, right? And he is nearer now to God than he's ever been, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the hope that we have in Jesus, but it does not take away from the hurt, and it does not take away from possibly the anxiety of, and we'll be thinking and praying that God would lead you and guide you, and He still needs a witness here in Roseau. And so we pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the hope that we have of the blessed coming of our Savior and Lord. Father, as we begin a new week, a new year, we pray that you would help us to love you more this year than we've ever loved you in the past. Help us to glorify your name through the things that we say, the things that we do, and the things that we think upon. May your glory be our utmost and our treasure that we treasure and delight in. And so we ask that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things out of your word today, not because I am wonderful, Father, but because your word is wonderful. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. My text this morning is going to come from James chapter 5. I have been preaching in our church in Warroad, preaching in the afternoons from James for several years now, and we're up to James chapter 5. And I thought my next section would be appropriate, a new year, new beginnings. And as we begin a new year, my mind always tends to drift towards this thought. Will this be the year that Jesus Christ comes again? We long for that. We look for that. We desire that. And all of the mess of this world will be cleared up with one trumpet blow, with one cry of the archangel, where the Father says, Son, it's time for you to revisit that planet, visibly and physically. And I think, could this be the last year we have upon earth? It's not that I want to escape reality. I don't mind living here in all of its troubles, and all of its sorrow, and all of its joy. And yet, if this is to be my last year here, if this is to be your last year here, if you knew that Jesus Christ was coming again this year, 2021, would I live any different? Am I living the way He wants me to be living? And so we reevaluate, hopefully. I'm not one that is big on making resolutions, because we just tend to forget them and break them anyway, right? And yet, I do reevaluate every year. Am I living the way He wants me to? Are there things in my life I should get rid of? Are there things in my life that I should add to what I am doing? Am I living the way He wants me to be living when He returns? And I find in our text today that there are several themes that are tied together with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me read the text for you, James chapter 5, verse 7 to 11. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. I find that there are several themes mentioned several times in this passage. The first theme that we have is that of patience. Patience. He says in verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. He says in verse 8, be also patient. Or he says again in verse 7 that the husbandman is patient and has long patience for the precious fruit until he received the early and the latter rain. He says in verse 8, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. He says in verse 10, look at the example of the prophets who, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. And then twice in verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure or have patience. It's another word for patience, endure. And then look at the life of Job and the patience he had. And so the first theme that runs through this is patience. In this passage, we have five times in these four verses that he uses the word patience or endure. He wants us to be patient. And in this passage, we also have three examples to illustrate or recommend or remind us of patience. The example of the farmer or the husbandman who's patient. The example of the prophets who endured and were patient in their affliction and suffering. And then finally, the example of Job and his patience in Christ. I find there's another theme, though, that runs through this that is mentioned three times in these four verses, and that is the theme of the coming of Jesus Christ, the second coming of our Lord. He says, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. In verse 8, he says, the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. It's going to happen soon. And then in verse 9, he alludes to it by saying, the judge standeth before the door. Well, who is the judge? Jesus Christ is the judge. He's been given by his Father the power to judge all people. And he's standing at the door ready to come. So I find there's another theme, not only patience, but the coming of Jesus Christ. The third theme that I find here that is spoken over and over, two times at least in these passages, is the theme of suffering. Now, no one of us loves that theme of suffering. No one likes to suffer in this life. But let me tell you, and you know this, it is part of this life. And God uses it to mold us and to shape us into the image of His Son through difficulties and through times of trials. These people were undergoing suffering when James was writing to them. The last verse in the section previous to this, verse 6, says that you have condemned and killed the just. He's talking about hedonists, those who live for pleasure, those who live for themselves. They have killed and condemned the just, and he does not resist you. That is, the just don't resist you. They were undergoing suffering at the hands of these ungodly people. So how do you live in light of that? And he alludes to that here. He alludes to the example of the prophets who, as an example of suffering affliction, were patient. And then he alludes to Job. We know the life of Job and how he suffered and how he endured and how it says he was patient. So there are three themes: patience, the coming of the Lord, and suffering. And so I want to look at three things today. Patience is needed as you wait for Jesus to come again. And then secondly, patience is needed when you suffer affliction, verse 9 and 10. And then thirdly, patience is needed as you wait for God to show himself to be very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now there are two areas that we need patience in. There are two different Greek words that are used and interchanged for the theme of patience. One of them is found in verse 7 and is translated patience. The other is found in verse 11 and is translated endurance. The one in verse 7 is markothumio, which means to be long breath. Sometimes it's translated long suffering. One who has a long fuse. In fact, James had alluded to this prior to this in chapter 1, where he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every one be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." He has a long fuse as opposed to what? Being short fused, as opposed to blowing up quickly. And so this word for patience has to do with dealing with people who would tick us off. Do you have any of those in your life? No, of course not. Those that upset you, those that bother you, and your reaction is quickly to lose your patience with them. And so this word has to do with being long-suffering with people, being patient with people, being slow to anger. But the other word for patience is found in verse 11, which is translated here, endurance. It is hupomeno, to remain or abide under. And it means to be patient in a situation. It means to be patient in circumstances. It means to be patient in trials. So the one has to do with people, and sometimes they are used in circumstances, but the other has to do with our trials and our circumstances. Both are mentioned here in our text. Now, it should not be a surprise to any Christian that they will experience trouble in this life and need patience and endurance to make it through. Listen to these verses on patience. We need patience in this Christian life. Jesus said, But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. It was the parable of the soils of the heart. And the good heart received the word of God, and he needs patience so that it will bear fruit in his life. It says in Luke 21:19, in patience possess your souls. Romans 5:3, not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? It works patience. And let patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. He's the God of patience. That's one of the characteristics of God, that he is patient. Paul prays for those in Colossians that they would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all what? Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Paul wanted them to have patience in their life, just as God wants us to have patience. It says in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Those in Thessalonica were an example to other believers of how to live under suffering and tribulations and trials and troubles, and they did it patiently, waiting for God. It's hard to be patient in trials, in times of trials. But he was commending them. Paul said to Timothy, he wants you to flee these things, Timothy, but follow these things: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. One of the fruit of the Spirit is patience and long-suffering. Paul said that the aged men were to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. We ought not to be losing our patience the older we get. We ought to be more and more patient. And then I love what it says in Hebrews 6:12, that you being not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. faith and patience are needed to inherit these promises. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise of God. Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with what? With patience, the race that is set before us. This is not a sprint. It is not a 25-yard or a 40-yard sprint or a 100-meter sprint, if you're a good Canadian. It's a long race that God calls us to. A race that is need to have endurance and patience to run to the end. You see, in the parable of the soils that God gave, that Jesus gave, one received the word quickly, and the fruit sprang up, and it seemed like they were following God. And then what happened? Persecutions and trials and tribulations came into their life because of the word, and they said, forget that. We don't want to have anything to do with that. If that's what Christianity is about, I don't want to have anything to do with it. God calls us to a life where we need patience in it, because he calls us to a life of following him, of taking up our cross, denying ourselves, living with frail people, living with broken people, people that may hurt us. And so we are to be patient. The Bible exhorts us to patience. Now, in our text, he says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient. Jesus Christ is coming again, but we have need of patience. Having just talked about the just being condemned and killed, he does not resist you. How do you live under such unjust treatment? How do you live when people treat you unjustly? You take up the sword and you say, vengeance is mine, I'll repay? That's not what the Bible instructs us. He says, wait patiently. Wait for God to repay. Wait patiently under that. Remember the teachings of Jesus? He says, when someone strikes you on the one cheek, what are you supposed to do? Turn the other cheek. But like someone said, well, I've only got so many cheeks. And then when they're done striking my cheeks, boy, I'm going to strike. You know. In fact, I shared that with somebody at work that was wondering what to do. You know. And that's the attitude of some, but that's not the attitude of Jesus. Jesus said when someone sues you and takes your shirt, well, give them more than they ask for. Give them more. When someone compels you to go 1 mile, which the Roman soldiers had permission to compel any Jewish citizen to carry their equipment for 1 mile. And then normally they would throw the equipment down after the mile and leave. He says, but not you. The witness, the gospel witness that you're a follower of Jesus will happen when? In the second mile. The first mile was compulsory. They had no choice. The second mile. Why are you still carrying my stuff? Oh, because my master said to you. Jesus said, go the second mile. Jesus said, in fact, love your enemies. The common teaching of the day was you love those that love you, and you're allowed to hate those that hate you. If someone doesn't like you, doesn't treat you good, well, you don't have to treat them good. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Let me tell you, that takes patience. But he says this, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. But there is coming an event which will make all of these unjust things that happen in our life, you'll make them right. And that event is the coming of Jesus Christ. All the injustices that we acquire and have happened to us in this life will be taken care of at the judgment seat of Christ. That's why it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Do not take vengeance up into your hand. Do we confront people? Sure. Do we help them and encourage them to do what is right? Sure. If someone treats us badly and offends us, what are we to do? We're to go to them and encourage them and speak to them and get it out in the open and get it taken care of. But vengeance is never ours. And so he's writing to a people that were undergoing persecution. There is coming an event, the coming of Jesus, when it's going to make all those hurtful things that we've acquired in life, it'll make them all right. Paul said, these things that I'm going through here in this life, these trials and this suffering that I'm going through here in this life, will seem like nothing. Why did I ever worry about them? When we're in the presence of Christ, it will seem like nothing. Now they're big now. And they loom large in our life now. But when we see Christ, it'll all be all right. They will seem as nothing. But what do we need? To be patient. We need the attitude of waiting. Because he gives now an illustration of the farmer. The farmer waits, or the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it. Farmers are very patient people. There are two things that the farmer does. He waits and he has long patience. The Lord wants us to wait. It's hard to wait, isn't it? It's hard to wait when you're in the middle of a trial. It's hard to wait for God to come through for you. But we need to wait. We need to wait patiently. The Lord that wait for him to the soul that seeketh him. It's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It says of Thessalonians 1:10, they were waiting for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivers us from the wrath to come. He says in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. You see, there are those in this world who say, Christ is not coming again. It's been over 2,000 years since Jesus said he was going to come again. He's obviously not coming again. 2 Peter 3 reminds us of that. They say, in that day and age, there's going to come scoffers in the last days. Scoffers. And walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? This Jesus, you're saying he's coming again? Where is he? It's been over 2,000 years. Are you sure he's coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And so there's going to come a doubting of the promises of Jesus. Do you doubt his promise that he's coming again? It's been such a long time, Jesus. We need to have patience unto the coming of our Lord. Now we have a promise from the lips of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that he is coming again. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus, from his very lips, said, I'm going to come again. Do you believe that promise? You need patience while you wait for the coming of Jesus. But the attitude that the early Christians have, and that every generation, I believe, needs to have, is that Jesus is going to come back in our lifetime. I think that's the attitude that every generation needs to have, because it will produce holy living. In 1 John chapter 3, I think it was, where it talks about the coming of Jesus Christ, and because you have that hope of his coming, of seeing him and being like him as he is, you purify yourself and you live holy. You live holy, waiting for him. So there is an example then of waiting. The farmer gives us the example of waiting, to wait patiently.